Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, text number 32. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu Bhagavan asti ishvaraha iti bhutani manasa kamaistai sarumanayat. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu Bhagavan asti ishvaraha iti bhutani manasa kamaistai sarumanayat. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu Bhagavan asti ishvaraha iti bhutani manasa kamaistai sarumanayat. Ladies. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarveshu, in all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality. Aste, is situated. Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. Iti, thus. Bhutani, all living entities. Manasa, by such understanding. Kamai, by desires. Tai, those. Sarumanayat, one should highly esteem. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus, one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Purport. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living entity, every living entity is therefore Hari. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who are situated in every body. The Atma is the living entity, and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Hari Sarvesha Bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma, although Atma is a part of the Paramatma. Offering respect to every living entity means offering respect to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Dharija Narayan, Swami Narayan, this Narayan or that Narayan. One should clearly understand that although Narayan is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity, the living entity never becomes Narayan. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharine Nivishesha Sanyavadi Pastachari Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaudavani Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Vama Rama Rama Hare Hare. So this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his classmates here. And here in the purport, Prabhupada raises an interesting point. He says, one should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. And when you read that, you can think, how could a living entity think he's the Paramatma? But by the power of the illusory energy, it's possible. Muyanti Yatsura, even the great sages and demigods are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, he gives us an insight into how this actually all happens, how it comes about. He says, there's famous verses, I think it's 260 and 261. Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangate shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha bajayate krodha bhavati samahat samahat smriti vibhramsad smriti bhramsad buddhinaso buddhinasad pranashyate. That by contemplating the objects of the senses, you know, with a desire for material enjoyment, well, just contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. Then from anger, krodha bhavati samohat, illusion. From illusion, one's memories, samohat smriti vibhramsat, one's memory is bewildered. And then one loses his intelligence and falls down into the material pool. So that's, you know, sort of a step-by-step description of how it all works. You know, it starts off with contemplating the objects of the senses, and then one, you know, becomes lusty, angry, illusion, loses memory, and then totally loses intelligence like that. So in this way, a living entity could even go as far that Papa sometimes referred to this as the last snare of Maya. You know, the last snare of Maya, last snare of illusion, that when the living entity actually thinks he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Lord himself. I think it's in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's one purport where Prabhupada says, you know, how could the living entity, you know, if the living entity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can he be overcome by nescience or Maya? That means that, you know, nescience or Satan, he uses that word there, is more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but yet, you know, by the inconceivable power of the illusory energy of the Lord, people, the living entity, can even think, you know, believe the ridiculous. Just like this example of Indra, who was cursed by, I believe it was Brihaspati, to become a pig. But then Lord Brahma came and tried to enlighten him. But he was so much bewildered by illusion that he was completely satisfied being a pig at that point. So the illusory energy is very powerful. Krishna says in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Daiviyeshu gunamai mamamai durachaya. You know, mamaiviye papajante mayami tam tadantite. That this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is durachaya. It's insurmountable. Very powerful. But by surrendering to Krishna, one can go beyond it. So, you know, in this way, we could see the living entity can become that bewildered. So what is... So as I was reading this, and I was thinking, well, okay, well, how does this relate to, you know, what we've been doing for the last month or month and a half, you know, distributing, trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books here in this marathon effort, And I thought, what relevance does this have, you know, to what we've been doing? I said, and I realized that actually it has every relevance, because earlier, a couple of verses before that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vishayava nivartante nihahara shadehina rasavarjamasopyasya param drishtvadavartate, that the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste still remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. Param drishtvadavartate, when he experiences that higher taste. So when you experience the higher taste by engaging in devotional service, then you can become free from material desires. You won't experience what Krishna is describing there, like jayato vishayan pumsam. When you contemplate the objects of the senses, one develops lust, etc., etc. When you're engaged in devotional service, your whole way of thinking, feeling, and willing becomes transformed spiritually. And you don't experience that. We had a great experience of that here over, as I said, the last month or so, because we're fully absorbed, or we're trying to be as much as possible, absorbed in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And that's the best way to control the mind. Prabhupada said in one lecture he gave that the best way to control the mind is to always be thinking how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And controlling the mind, of course, means restraining it from desires for sense gratification. But as we all know, and as Prabhupada points out repeatedly in his purports, the only way you can really do that successfully is if you're engaging the mind in devotional service and experiencing that higher taste. So, you know, by doing like what we just were doing for the last month and a half, we're experiencing the higher taste. You know, experiencing the higher taste of trying to spread the Krishna conscious movement. And as a result, we're not, we don't become the victims of that process that was described there by Krishna in the second chapter of contemplating the objects of the senses, becoming attached, lust develops, anger, etc., etc., etc. So in that way, it's completely relevant to what we've been doing. That's the way I see how it relates to today's translation and purport, that it's the remedy. It's the remedy for material illusory consciousness. You know, try to be fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord, and perhaps the best way to be engaged in devotional service is to be fully absorbed in trying to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And so I heard some discussion. I heard that there was some discussion within the community over the last month that maybe, you know, the way what we're doing isn't bona fide and wouldn't be approved of by Srila Prabhupada, because we're, you know, distributing books at such a discounted, we can maybe use the word, rate. You know, we weren't getting the proper price for the books. We weren't getting double the BBT. What to speak of double the BBT, we weren't even, at least the distributors weren't even covering the cost of printing. And so I heard that, you know, there was some question being raised, you know, by different individuals saying, you know, that this wasn't, suggesting that this wasn't something that would be pleasing to Prabhupada. It wasn't something that Prabhupada approved of. But actually, I just wanted to present some information that I'm aware of to the contrary, to put everybody's mind at ease in case you were being disturbed by that, you know, rumor or whatever that was going around. Prabhupada was okay with that. You know, Prabhupada was okay with preaching being helped by other means. My personal experience of that was when 1976 I was on Radha Damodar, and for months before the marathon, we were distributing books, and we had to get, you know, each week they told us a different figure. Like, you know, to give out a Bhagavad Gita, somebody had to get $13, or you had to get $26. You know, it was just basically what was going on was the managers were, you know, accumulating extra funds over the months, you know, leading up to the marathon. And then in the month of December, we were just told, okay, give the books out for any donation. Give the books to, you know, give even hardcover books, Bhagavad Gitas, give the books to anybody who wants one and will value it, you know, at your discrimination. And we did that. And, you know, we were just distributing, like, enormous numbers of books. And then, so, you know, as today, there was competition. There was competition between Radha Damodar and New Dwarka and Chicago Temple and London. And there's a worldwide competition. So when the different leaders of these, of New Dwarka, which was actually Ramaswar Prabhu at that time, and Jayatirtha, I believe, was for London, and I can't remember who was Chicago. When they heard about that, they became, you know, disturbed. Hey, what's going on? Isn't that, you can't do that. You can't distribute the books for you know, such small donations or no donations. It's not, you can't, that's not right. It's not, you know, legitimate. So they went to Prabhupada, and they, you know, they told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you know, the Radha Damodar, they're giving out these books for practically nothing. You know, they're not getting the proper price for the books. So Prabhupada, you know, he said, well, okay. And Prabhupada went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and talked to him about it, and asked him, what's going on? You know, they say you're not getting the proper price for the books. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj just explained to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, these, the books are paid for. You know, we pay the BBT. You know, the BBT has received the money for these books. And then, and Prabhupada, you know, said, okay, well, if that's the case, that's no problem. And he went back and he told those leaders, you know, they've paid for these books. The BBT has been paid for the books. They're their books. They can distribute them anywhere they like. So that was, and that was it. So, and those are his precedents. It's bona fide. It's okay. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's not just an isolated incident. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, there's a one purport, or one text, where, well, it's a purport where Prabhupada mentions, talks about this, and it's number 10. He says, there are many devotees who are engaged in propagation of the Krishna consciousness, and they require help. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization, and labor. Just as in business, one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor, and some organization to expand. So the same is required in the service of Krishna. And he goes on to say, if one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness. Or he can help with publication. There it is right there. There are various fields of activity, and one should be interested in such activities. If, as Papa goes on to say, if one cannot sacrifice the results of his activities, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one rise to a higher state of love for God, whereupon one becomes perfect. So it's, you know, it's completely bona fide. It's being referred to there, right in the, you know, the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, that this is something that is okay, and it's actually, it's purifying. It's an intelligent way to do things. just like here in New Dwarka, you know, we distributed over 20,000 Bhagavad Gitas, you know, this, over this last month, and actually everybody did it. I mean, like, I was out there actually distributing, actually handing books to the people, but I couldn't have done what I was doing if it wasn't for the support of the entire community. Like, I mean, just like, for instance, on an average day on a college campus, maybe I would say to distribute 10 boxes of Bhagavad Gitas. That's 240 Bhagavad Gitas. At double the BBT, that's over $1,000. And even a temple course price, that's, you know, like $500, or a bit more than $500, maybe six, something like that. And, you know, we were collecting maybe like between $100 and $200 for that. So, you know, you can understand from that how much subsidized it was. So, in other words, for the distributors to be able to do what they're doing, like right now as we speak, Prema Sankirtan's out there giving out Bhagavad Gitas for on an average of 50 cents each. So what? It's great. Why not? People are getting the Bhagavad Gita, and, you know, the books, the BBT is being paid. So it's actually, it's wonderful. And everybody in the temple is participating in some way or another. Like, as if you're working in the kitchen and you're, you know, just doing, you know, whatever, cooking or cutting the vegetables, you're participating, and you can think of yourself as distributing books. Because why? Because you're helping the restaurant work. The restaurant's making money for the temple. That money, you know, that the restaurant makes, that the gift shop makes, that the membership department is collecting from the members, it's all being used, was used for distributing books this last month. So therefore, everybody who's working in any of those areas, or any of the areas for that matter, that, you know, we have, because the temple's like a, you know, unit, was distributing books. So I'm really happy about that. I just feel like, wow, this is a real book distribution temple. Maybe we didn't have like a huge number of devotees going out there and actually physically distributing the books, but everybody was participating in the marathon by supporting these different efforts that were going on. So in this way, it's a great paradigm. It's like, you know, a book distribution temple. So I hope that we can do more of this in the future. And we shouldn't stop there.
Let me just have a look at the time. Okay,
that's fine. So, yeah, this is a great thing to do like this. Prabhupada encourages it right here in the Bhagavad Gita. And I think we should have more goals like that. Maybe not just wait for the marathon, like a good goal for this coming year to get like 100 devotees. Maybe not, necessarily 100 people living in the ashram, but like 100 devotees chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles. Have a goal like that. Or just so many different things we could do. And, we could see that when we all just kind of focus on that goal like that, how, amazing things happen. But also, I just want to say something about this is the last day of the year. And so on the last day of the year, of course, it's the last day of the year by the non-devotee calendar. We have our own calendar. So we have a lot of last days of the year. The day before Gaur Purnima is our last day of the year. The day before Janmashtami is our last day of the year. And I guess this is also the last day of the year. But so a lot of times in the last day of the year or coming to the end, people make New Year's resolutions. So a good, I was thinking about that a little bit. And I was thinking how, if we're at all considering becoming more serious about Krishna consciousness, probably this is a good time to do it. We tend to think sometimes that we have all the time in the world, but unfortunately, we don't. And I think we've got some powerful reminders of that, all of us, over the last couple months, about how we really don't know. How much time we have, if we have any time. I mean, I know I've been sort of in touch with one devotee in the San Jose community. I noticed there's some devotees from the San Jose community here this morning. And there's one very, very nice devotee who passed away back, I think it was in the end of November, beginning of December, Rashi Shekhar Prabhu. And I knew him, because I went up there several times when, I met him and I got to develop a friendship with him. And he was a very nice man. He was a scientist. He worked with Linus Pauling, who was famous for, researching the different benefits of vitamin C. And he's a very, pukka sort of a guy. He's like, his father actually was a devotee. His father wrote a Bhagavad Gita, wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, so he came from like a Vaishnava family. And he was doing a lot of nice service in the temple. He was their treasurer. He was the person who made the announcements at the Sunday feast and so forth and so on. Great asset, right, to the community there, And so he just went to work one day. This is what I asked three different times. I spoke to the devotee, Sri Krishna Purushottam, who was the Sankirtan leader up there. Because I just found it so hard to, what happened? And he just, same thing each time. He just said he went to work. He experienced, he was in the middle of the day, he started experiencing some difficulty breathing and, some heaviness like that. And he went into his office, closed the door, and that was that. He left. He was not a patient. He was not like a heart patient or a cancer patient. He was for all apparent purposes, he was in good health. And they say it was hypertension, whatever. Maybe that has something to do with high blood pressure. So I don't know. But it's like it's a mystery. But he just went. So, another powerful example is these two devotees who many of us know, Kripa Avatar and Radha Kripa. Ananta Vilas and Radha Kripa. Right. Yeah, sorry. They were here in New Dwarka. So many of us knew them. And they were kidnapped, and there's been no word about them since that happened. So, yeah, we don't have all the time in the world. We shouldn't think like that. And probably, is a Vedic aphorism. Prabhupada used to say, trust no future, however pleasant. So, you know, we should, if we have any of that mentality that, I got time. I'll get serious, but I got time. I'll wait till I'm this age or that age or this. No. You know, there's a Vedic aphorism, palena parichate. If it's auspicious, do it immediately. So that's a good meditation, you know, if you want to make use of this, you know, dovetail the New Year's resolution thing, which is, you know, it says last day of the year. So that's a good thing to think about, that, you know, really we should get serious immediately, because we really don't know. We really don't know how much time we have. And, you know, those of us, as I said, who knew these different people, it really hits, when you actually know the person, it really hits even, you know, stronger like that. It's a stronger reminder. Anyway, so I'll stop there, 10 past. Anybody have any questions or comments about any of these different points? Satchitanui. I know. But you're the one who always tells me to make sure I stop early, so. Thank you. Nice comment. Archie Dupu, you had your hand in.
Right, thank you. Good point. Another? Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it's, you know, valuable resources. We don't want to just distribute it willy-nilly. It's the person should, you know, be somebody we think is going to, as you said, appreciate or value the book. Anybody else? Yep, boom. Okay, thank you much. Kantaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.